Thank you, Lord, that we are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb of Jesus Christ, Lord. Lord, we just ask that you just be with us today, Lord, as we just hear a portion of your word, Lord. Just let it sink in deep inside of us, Lord, and let it transform us, Lord, to be the people that you have called us to be, Lord, the redeemed. Lord, those who are no longer the same old person that we used to be, Lord. That we have a new name written in glory, Lord, and it's the name that is your sons, Lord, and your daughters, Lord. We just thank you for that. Lord, we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Man, ain't God good? And all the time. Yeah. Man, I think y'all can do better than that. Man, y'all, that sounded kind of weak. Man, God is good. I mean, all the time. Amen. Man, God is good, isn't he? And we can worship him. We can sit here this morning and we can just think about all that God has done for us in our lives. And because God is so good and he forgives us, I gave you this week my favorite verse. This is my, I would say, my life verse, the verse that I want to carry throughout my life, and I want to treat people this way. So Ephesians 4:32, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. That's a pretty short one, Gary. We got it this week. So it's a pretty short one, but it's just something that resonates with me, and I think our whole country, our whole world needs this verse. We need this verse to radiate through our lives and come spilling out of us. To be ye kind to one another. Man, we need to be kind to each other. Does that say to be kind to other people in your family? Be kind to just the ones that you like? No, to everyone. To everyone that is around you, be ye kind and tenderhearted. Man, feel compassion for people that are around you because you never know what people are going through within their lives, because it can be hard out there in this world that we live in. Forgiving one another. Okay. Sometimes we're the world's worst. Well, you just don't know what they've done to me. It doesn't really matter what they've done to you. Forgiveness is the key. Forgive those around you. Forgive those who have done you wrong, and God will bless you. And why should we do this? Because even as God in Christ forgave you, he's done it for you already. He gave the example. He did the work, and we just have to follow him. Why? Because we are redeemed. Because we are not that same old person that we used to be. We're a new person in Christ Jesus. We have a new name, and we are different than who we used to be. The old person would say, hold a grudge. You know, don't forgive them. You know, just go on and just be angry with them. Talk about them. Try to get them back in everything that you do. And the new person in Christ says, love them. Forgive them. Be tender-hearted, and it'll come back to you. Does that mean that person is going to be nice to you? No, it doesn't. But it's not about that person. It's about your relationship with Christ and your relationship with other people. We have to forgive. And we have to draw near to Christ, and we can't do this on our own. It's going to have to be through Jesus Christ, through his power that is inside of us, that know him as Lord and Savior. Why? Because we've been redeemed. Because we're not the same. We don't think the same. We don't act the same. We should be different than who we once were in our lives. So that's a sermonette on Ephesians 4:32. Okay. I didn't do this the week before last. I should have, but I didn't. Repeat with me out loud. Okay. Ephesians 4:32. And be ye kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. He gave you that example. And we are to do likewise in our lives. And God will bless us. So we are on the third part, which was supposed to be last week. I want to thank Jordan for taking care of last week. I was not feeling well at all. I couldn't talk. I couldn't do anything. I got to school Tuesday, and I was sitting there talking to the kids, and they said, "What?" Because I was, "I can't talk. It just can't come out good." So, but I finally got better throughout the week, and it's, I thank you for your prayers and what the Lord has done in my life and allowed me to be back here this morning. So get your Bible. Let's turn to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29. Y'all know a pretty popular verse in Jeremiah 29? Yeah, I'm sure you do. But it's actually verse 11 and not verse in this section. But Jeremiah chapter 29. It's on page 1108 in my Bible. So, Jeremiah 28 or 29. Is it 29? Yeah, 29 verses 1 through 10. Y'all there? Give me a head shake. Y'all there? Y'all ready? Okay. Now these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem to the remainder of the elders who were carried away captive, to the priest, to the prophets, and to the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. This happened after Jehoiakim, the king and queen mother and eunuchs and the priests of Judah and Jerusalem, the craftsmen and the smiths had departed from Jerusalem. The letter was sent by the hand of Elisha, the son of Shesma, and Gershma, the son of Helka, and from Zechariah, king of Judah, into Babylon, to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, saying, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the Lord of Israel, or God of Israel, to whom were carried away captive, whom I had caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and dwell in them. Plant gardens and eat their fruit. Take wives and begat sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands so that they may bear sons and daughters, that you may be increased there and not diminished. And seek the peace from the city where I have caused you to carry away or be carried away captive, and pray to the Lord for it, for in its peace you will have peace. And thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not lodge your prophets and your diviners who are in your midst deceive you, nor listen to the dreamers which you cause to be dreamed. For they prophesy falsely to you in my name. I have not sent them, says the Lord of hosts. And thus says the Lord God, after 70 years
have been completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform a good word toward you and cause you to return to this place. Okay, I'm going to read verse 11 because this is the one we all know here. It's not on the screen. But verse 11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." So we have this passage, and we think about, you know, what God is giving to us and talking to us about here this morning. And what I would look at in this is talking about service in our city, in our town, in our community, in which we belong to. And if we look at this passage and we think about it, what was happening here? The people of Israel had been sent into bondage into Babylon. And in Babylon, they were sitting there and not a place where they wanted to be. They said, well, you know, we don't want to be here. We don't like it. We don't like the people here. And they were complaining. They were griping. And God says, hey, you're going to be here for a while. So you just as well to make the best of it. And that's the way that's kind of South Arkansas language that I would think of, you know, whenever I would say that. You know, you need to make the best of it. Why don't you serve in our city? Serve in our community. Do the things that God has asked you to do and make, this is the key, and make your community a better place. It wasn't what they wanted. But God says, make it a better place. Embracing the community needs that are around us. Identifying local challenges. We have challenges right here in Bearden, Arkansas, in Camden, in Fordyce, in Arkansas as a whole, in our country. We have these challenges that are around us, and we can bury our heads in the sand and say, I don't want to see it. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to do anything about it. Or we can take God's word. We can take it out to the people. And we can make a difference within the lives of the people around us. We need to identify the challenges within our local community. In verse 7, within this passage, it says, and seek peace for the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray to the Lord for it. For in its peace, you will have peace. So we find the challenges in our community, and what do? We start first by what? Praying. We need first to pray for our community. Pray for the challenges. Pray for the things that you see. Like, I would like to see a change within our community here. Start praying about it. Guess what? We don't even have to go out of the doors of this church. You say, well, I'd like to see some changes within, you know, our church to do things different. You know, what do we need to do? Gripe, complain, stay home, not do anything. No, we need to pray. Don't be praying for your preacher to leave, though. So. But be praying, you know, that God would do great things and He would use you in order to do them great things. And that's what we need. We need to indicate, you know, in our local challenges, and we have challenges within our church. We have challenges within our community. You know what our biggest challenge within our church is? Workers. It is what it is. We have the biggest challenge for workers. We need to make sure that we get out within our church and we start doing something. This is not a country club that people come that they serve you. This is a house of God that we work together and we are to do great and mighty things. Because you know what a lot of people do? I've seen this, and others have seen this. Well, I don't need that church down there. You know, I'm doing just fine. Well, my family member died. Church, where are you? Or I'm struggling in this area. Church, where are you? I'm stepping on toe. Kicking in the rear. Come on, we need to wake up and we need to start working and not looking for a handout, because some people, they come into the church, and I'm going to start getting a little here. You know, they start coming into church, and what are they the first question they ask? Well, what do you have to offer me? What does this church have to offer my youth? What does this church have to offer my kids? What does this church have to offer me? That is the wrong question. It's what has God sent you for to this place to be used? God wants to use you to serve those around you. And guess what you'll get in return? You'll get served also. But it's not about being served. What did Jesus tell us? I think it was the first one within this series. Jesus did not come to be served, but to serve. So we need to identify problems in this community, things that we want to be better. And we need to start praying about it. But also a story that I heard one time, you know, was about this lady that, a beer joint opened right down from her house. And she prayed and she prayed and she prayed that the Lord would just take that away. And one day she woke up, she said, I'm going to have to put some feet to these prayers. And she went down and lit it on fire and burned it up. I'm not telling you to do that. But sometimes we have to put feet to our prayers. We sit back and say, God, let someone else do this. When God is saying, I want you to do this. And that's what we have to identify these issues and start praying for them. And we need to start acting on them. Okay. Well, I see this issue now. Hey, I can help in this area of the church, of our community. And we need to step in and actually do it. What it all boils down to, and I would say don't take this personal, but some of us might need to take this personal. And Christians everywhere, we got a bunch of lazy Christians that don't want to do God's work. All they want to do is just sit back, eat their bonbons, and watch Netflix instead of going out and doing God's work. Because there's plenty to do in God's work. We could do so many more things if we had the resources. And it's not necessarily the financial resources. It's the people resources in order to do them. So identify the needs of our community, where we need to embrace within our community. And I think that's where God was telling them in that community is, it's time to stop complaining and start getting to work within your community. If you want your community to be better, you need to be the catalyst for that. So what's catalyst? Like old kindling. You ever seen that pine kindling, sap kindling? You know, chew light, man, that's just, we use it to start fires. You light it, and it'll help you light a bigger fire. What kind of catalyst are we? Are we water? I've never heard of water being a catalyst. Are we fuel? that can help our community, help our church in growing. And we need to encourage or engage in acts of kindness around our community. Well, I don't like them people. It's time to be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. And go out and serve those around you. Because it's not about you. It's about the Lord. And what the Lord has done for us. Now we're to give back. And I will tell you, if you give back to the Lord will bless you. The Lord's going to give me all this money. I didn't say that. Man, there's so many more blessings than financial. So many more blessings. I tell you, one of the biggest blessings that you'll ever have is to lead someone to the Lord. Money can't buy that. Because that's a free gift from God. And if we get the opportunity and engaging in acts of kindness, it opens up the door to be able to share the gospel. But if you go up there all sour and all mad and all griping and all complaining, you never get the opportunity to open the door to share the gospel. Who in here likes to be around people that gripe, complain all the time? Anyone? Anyone? Who do you like to be around? Someone that's friendly? Someone that's kind? That's what you want to be around. So let's be different within our community and let's embrace the community needs that we have right here. You don't have to go far. You don't have to go on a mission trip to find the needs of a community. They're right here in front of us. And we just have to embrace them and say, just like in Jeremiah's day, you know, Lord, I see the stuff that's going on, and what am I going to do? I'm going to make my community. I'm going to pray for peace, and I'm going to step up, and I'm going to do the things that it takes to bring peace to our community. And what is that going to start with? Being kind to one another. Well, I'm going to be kind to all my other brothers and sisters in Christ. That's not what it said to everyone. We are to be kind. We need to build relationships, connecting with our neighbors. And this is something that, you know, whenever I was a kid, and even more when some of you were a kid, that your community, your neighbors were something that were important. Man, you were always out and you were around your neighbors. You gathered together. You had meals together. You did all of these things, you know, with your neighbors. You helped your neighbors. And now we're stuck in our homes, trying to look out the window to see who's knocking on our door. I wonder what they want to do. We need to get outside the walls of our church, outside the walls of our home, and we need to start building relationships with those around us, connecting with our neighbors, collaborating, you know, working together, you know, with local organizations. You know, there's nothing wrong with a Christian working and being a part of the community, even in the politics and even in the clubs. Or, you know, whenever I was at Whitehall, I was in banking, so I had to be a part of the Lions Club, and I had to be part of the Chamber of Commerce, you know, and all these things. But what do these things do? They help our community become a better place to live. And that's what we need to be actively connected within our community and with our neighbors. And that's what he's telling them to do is, you know, get out and be connected to the ones around you. Build houses, dwell in them, plant gardens, eat their fruit, take wives, beget sons and daughters, take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands so that they may bear children. Get established. That's what he's talking about. Get established within your community and make what God has placed you there for. God has placed you there to make your community a better place. Well, I don't want to live in Bearden. That's where you live. Why don't we, while we're living here in this community, why don't we make it a better place to live? To grow our community with the things of the Lord and not the things of the world. Because the things of the world, they're going to try to take over our community. And they are working on it double time. Drugs, alcohol, sex, abuse, all these things are working within our community, and we need to combat that with light. So I need to go buy a flashlight, Jesus, or a flashlight, Brother Jimmy? No, you need to have Jesus shining out of you and allowing Him to work. So we need to collaborate with our local organizations. We need to connect with our neighbors. And we need to have the perspective of our city that God has, viewing through God's eyes our community. You know what God does this community? He loves this community. Why? Because He loves its people. He died on the cross for every single person within this community. And so we need to view it through God's eyes. And I think last week I seen the thing, you know, God of this city is what they sang. Y'all sang that last week? God of this city. He is the God of this city. But we are His children that are in this city. And we need to be actively pursuing the things of God and making them just be within our community to make it a better place to live. Does anyone here want a better place to live? I do. I want my community to be better. I want my community to look different. I see these little videos that come through on Facebook and stuff, you know, the top 10, you know, friendliest towns in America or in Arkansas. Wouldn't it be great to have our community in a list like that? That's going to come with loving God and loving others. We need to recognize God's plan for our city. Verse 11. It's where we came to. I was going to read, or I read verse 11 earlier. What is God's plans for our city? He says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. And that's what God wants to do for our community. He has thoughts of good for this community. He has thoughts, you know, of things that will grow this community to be like no other community around. And it's going to come through the things of God. And we also need to understand the importance of hope. We got hope. If you're hopeless, you're in trouble. I have hope. This is my home. I've lived in Fordyce, I've lived in Whitehall, I've lived in Fort Worth, Texas, I've lived in Malvern, but this is my home. And I've lived in Igalette. Some of you don't know where Igalette is. That's where I was raised at. This is my home. Could I have went somewhere else? Probably. But God brought me home. Work here in our community, and we need to embrace that, and we need to understand the importance of having hope within our community. And the way that we're going to do that is we're going to have to have a shift in our thinking, our mindset. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says, you know, that we're to transform our mind by the renewing, or transfer, I'd have to turn to it, my mind went blank. You know, but we're to have a mind that is transformed by Jesus. You know what that means? That we are a new person in Christ. Don't be in the old mindset that, you know, nothing good can come out of this community, because something can. From criticism to compassion. From isolation to inclusion. And we were talking about this in my computer science class, inclusion. And we talk about this quite often within our schools, or inclusion. That means we bring them in, the other students in, to be involved with other students. And we, inclusion, you know, we want to bring in, you know, what we were talking about in computer science is we want to include the first letter, or the first number and the last number within our statement. We want to have inclusion into that. No more isolation. God did not make us a people that are to be isolated. He makes us a people for family. I know I've told it before, and you've told it, or you've probably heard it in other places also, of the man that quit coming to church, and the preacher went and seen him, and he was sitting by a fire, and he had a hearth out front and had this bunch of coals within the fire, you know, and them coals were burning bright within that fire. And then he took it, the tongs, the preacher took the tongs and went in and got one coal, and he set it out on the hearth, you know, the place out in front of the fireplace, and he just left it there. He didn't say nothing about it, and the man was just looking, and he kept watching that. And what happened to that coal? It started getting darker and darker and darker. And the man said, I'll be back to church next Sunday. So the preacher reached in there and grabbed that coal. He put it back in the fire. And what happened to it? It started glowing again. We're not made to be on our own, out, secluded, isolated from those who are around us. God has made us for family. He has made us part of His family. And we are all to be together and love one another. So we are not to be in isolation. We're to be joined together. People are welcome into our family. So what are we doing about that within our community? Are we growing our city through personal and spiritual development? Are we growing our city? Do we have growth? We always hear these cities being stagnant. You know, the city, you know, it's just stagnant. Nothing's going on. You know, it's just going down. Why don't we do something to change that? And it can be personal stagnation, but it also can be spiritual. And it usually starts with the spiritual stagnation of a community, and then the personal starts going down too, because people are dissatisfied. But there's something that we all have that we can be satisfied with, and His name is Jesus Christ. So let us grow in that. Encourage, you know, individual growth within our community. In verse 5 of Jeremiah, it says, build houses, dwell in them, plant gardens and eat their fruit. Take wives and begat sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, so that they may bear sons and daughters, that you may increase, be increased there and not diminished. They engulfed themselves within that community, and they grew that community. And I would tell you, if you get involved in a community and people get to know you, you have a way of making a difference within that community. fostering community discipleship. And this is something that we need desperately within our church, within our community, is discipleship. Discipleship is never alone, though. Discipleship is always with at least two people. You have a person that has been discipled, a person that has grown in Christ, and then you take someone else on and you help them grow in Christ. And we have the collective advancement, you know, support local initiatives. Pray for the prosperity of your city. And that's what they were doing in Jeremiah 29 and verse 7. Here's what the Lord was telling them to do. Seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray to the Lord for it, for in its peace you will have peace. You bring peace to our community, folks, and it's going to bring peace to you. And we need that within our community, within our church, within our families. We need that. And God is telling us, you're planted somewhere. You're going to be there. Do something to improve those around you. Grow them in Christ. And folks, it'll benefit you. And it'll benefit me. And it'll benefit your neighbor. It'll benefit all those around you. And God will bless for that. So we need workers. We need workers in the field to help to do the things that God has asked us to do while we're here. God's planted us right here. God placed us right here on Jordan and North Cedar. He placed us here for a reason, and that is to reach our community for Christ. Have you grown within your community? Have you helped your community, or have you hindered your community from growth? This morning, I just ask that you would stand as they come for a time of invitation, that you would just think about, how can I help in my community? What is the talents and the resources that God has given me to help within my community, in my church, in my community in which I live? And pray how God can use that to help grow our community. Let's pray. Lord, we just come before you just thanking you for all that you have done for us, Lord. Lord, we just ask that you just be with our community, Lord, our church, Lord, our families, Lord, that we would grow in you and that we would be different than the world around us, Lord. That we would build into people's lives, Lord. Build into our community's life, Lord. And Lord, that your glory would be escalated, Lord. That you people would see your glory through our communities, Lord, that we live in, Lord. Lord, I just love you and I thank you for all that you have done, Lord, and all that you're going to do, Lord. Lord, and I'd ask if there's someone here this morning that does not know you, Lord, has not been redeemed, that today would be that day that they would give their life to you, Lord. And others, Lord, that they need to get to work for you, Lord, that you would just prompt their hearts, Lord, convict them, Lord, in their hearts of what they need to do. In Jesus' name.